Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at ccbci.org.
Good relationships are not built because of an absence of problems, but it is built on how we handle those problems and those confrontations.
Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, if you wouldn't mind, please. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand. My intent was to finish chapter 6 today, because we're heading into the Christmas schedule. Next week is the Sunday before Christmas, so we'll see what the Lord will have for a message then. And then Monday, we have two Christmas Eve services, candle lighting at 5 and 7 o'clock. So I thought it would have been nice to finish the whole chapter before we got into the Christmas, but I really felt the Holy Spirit had something different for us today. He stopped us, at least stopped me, on verse 1. Look at verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. And I got to that, and I just felt because I had prepared. So I'm really excited because I have chapter 6 all prepared. I really do. I can relax a little bit unless he changes it a little in a way. But then I just kept feeling a little bit of discomfort that I wasn't exactly where I was supposed to be. And so the Lord has, I believe, if I can say that, guided us to a message as you see on the screen there. We are to restore one another. This is very important. Relationships that we have with each other are vital. Today, we are brothers. Some are sitting next to people that you know and you bump shoulders with all the time. Others sitting next to people that you've sat next to for a year and you haven't said hi yet. Only joking. But there's different degrees of knowing people. But I believe across the spectrum, we are to be concerned about our relationship within our marriage, within our family, within our church, our workplace, the overall body of Christ, if you're going to school, wherever we are, in our neighborhoods, our communities, we are to be, as Christians, very concerned about our walks with the Lord and the examples and the testimony that we give. So I felt today, as we looked at verse 1, we would be talking about the art of restoring. If you're going to take notes, so you can put that down. That's going to be what we're going to be looking at. We are to restore one another, and we are going to use the art of restoring, or the art of confrontation. To restore, it may be that we are guided into, and it may be necessary to confront. Now, confrontation is a good thing. We can handle it incorrectly, but it is a good thing handled by the Spirit of God. But unfortunately, we as Christians sometimes are better destroyers than restorers. We can do that. There's a saying that we all are familiar with, and I don't know where it comes from, but often it says of Christians that we kill our wounded. We're not to do that. We are to be restorers. That'd make a good sweatshirt, wouldn't it? I am a restorer. We are to be restorers. Someone has said this: good relationships are not built because of an absence of problems or confrontation, but it is built on how we handle those problems and those confrontations. That can lead to a good relationship. No one is immune from problems. We all will face problems. All of us are sinners, and that is all it takes to set the stage for conflict and the need for restoration. Is there a need today, question, in our lives for restoration? Do we have relationships that have been damaged? Maybe, yes, that other person damaged it, but maybe God would say to you, if it's at all possible, as much as within you, live peaceably with all men. Where is it within you to be that instrument of restoration? And it may take confrontation. We are to take heart, though. Solid and lasting relationships can be built by those who know Christ as their Savior and who learn to deal with problems and confrontations in a biblical manner. And that's what we're going to look at today, in a biblical manner. Again, Paul says, if anyone is overtaken in any trespass. It's just interesting, that word overtaken in a trespass. It speaks of a false step. A false step. Overtaken contains the idea of falling. It is not the deliberate, the plan, the aspect of sin that is stressed here, but rather the you didn't plan it. Element. Have you ever been to a place that you have this phrase, how did I get here? Anybody? How did I get here in this relationship? Let's say, how did I get here? Well, it starts maybe with a little step. It starts with not understanding the art of restoring, the art of confrontation. And then it builds and it builds and it builds. And it wasn't necessarily a purposeful thing, because that's why you come to the, how did I get here at this place? And the Holy Spirit shines light into it, and you need to adjust at that point. Very important. Paul's wording here speaks not of a determined and hardened sinner. Instead, the idea is of someone who has fallen into sin, finding themselves trapped in a place they never thought they would be in. Never thought they would be in. And so the question would be, how do we get out from that? How do we restore a relationship? Maybe it's our walk with the Lord. We can find ourselves in the Lord. How did I get here? Show me that so I will never, ever enter in. But the challenge is, notice it says, you who are spiritual. Now, that doesn't mean that you can quote all 66 books of the Bible backwards and forwards and start in the middle and go left or right. Doesn't mean that. That isn't being spiritual. It's simply you who are responsive to and controlled by the Holy Spirit. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. If he is our Lord, then it would seem, according to Scripture, then we are to yield our lives to the voice of God through the person of the Holy Spirit. And notice this challenge in this verse says that we are to restore such a one. We're to restore this person. David Gusick says this concerning the overtaken ones need to be restored. They are not to be ignored, the overtaken ones. They are not to be excused. They are not to be destroyed. The goal is always restoration. Is that our goal today in our marriages, as I said, in our families, in our relationships that we have outside of our families, our workplace, or whatever? We're going to look at some tools on how to restore relationships. John Stout said concerning restore, the verb is instructive. It means to put in order and to restore to its former condition. It was used in secular Greek as a medical term for setting a fracture or dislocated bone. Is there something that has been fractured in our lives today concerning relationships? Is there something that's dislocated as a bone can be dislocated, and we need to get that right? Notice it says, in the spirit of gentleness. Restoration must always be done in a spirit of gentleness, with full understanding of our own weakness and corruption. Those doing the restoring must guard against the temptation of pride, as well as the same temptation the overtaken one struggled with. It's interesting, he says this again, that it's a spirit of gentleness. Consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. When we go into the ministry of restoration, we must handle it correctly, because there's going to be plenty of temptation that will come our way. Pride is one of the major ones that we see. Consider yourself. Keep an attentive eye on yourself, lest you should also be tempted. And so how do we do biblical confrontation? Keep your finger here. We'll come back, but go to Matthew chapter 7. Those that have been around in this church know that we have addressed this issue through the years, but we're going to look at it, Matthew chapter 7. None other than Jesus himself, I believe, gives us the first step to restoration, the art of confrontation, the art of restoration. In verse 1 of chapter 7, Jesus said, "Judge not that you be not judged." Now, one would say, what does judgment mean? Because there can be good justice and judgment. There can be good led by the Holy Spirit. But what does it mean in the flesh? Basically, it means one simple thing, that we can come to a point concerning people in our lives and we can make a decision upon the motives of their hearts without even knowing what's inside of their hearts. And we do that very quickly, do we not? We can move so quickly to that. We've been offended greatly. We're not being treated fairly. Those are facts. But we don't understand why. What is going on in that person's heart? What injury is there? What has happened when they were a youth? What has happened when they were just 8, 7, 6 years old? That has lingered inside of their heart and they're not set free because it has not been restored and dealt with. And we make a judgment upon their lives, their actions, and their actions may not be good. But we take it a step too far when we begin to judge them in such a way and come to conclusions that the Holy Spirit wouldn't take us to. He says in verse 2, "For with what judgment you judge, there is a consequence." Notice Jesus says, "You will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye?" You will not be able to see, Jesus is saying correctly. He calls in verse 5 them, if we do this, we are hypocrites. We're only actors in the midst of our Christian walk, he's saying. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Wow. Is that easy? No, it's not. It's not easy at all. Because we are people, I don't know about you, I speak for myself. I find in myself, it's very easy for me to judge. It's very easy for me to make decisions and come to conclusions. But I've learned to watch it because I know in this chapter, Jesus addresses something that's very important, verses 15 through 20. We won't go there, but he talks about us being fruit inspectors. That speaks of discernment. Discernment is different than judgment. Judgment, if it's ungodly, wants to condemn and destroy. Discernment, if it's biblical, wants us to restore, to lift up a person. And so the first step that we should in the art of confrontation, the art of restoration, realize that we've got to ask the Holy Spirit to search our heart. Then we have permission to go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, and we've studied that. But go with me to Matthew chapter 18, because we're in that book right now. Go there. And Jesus gives us a guideline. After we've gone through Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 5, then he takes us, I believe, we should go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. And then after we've gone through that, we are encouraged to go to Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, where it says, verse 15, "Moreover, if your brother sins against you," it's a fact, that person has missed the mark, they have sinned against you, you go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. Well, Lord, what about that person coming to me? Well, yeah, that's a possibility. But what if he doesn't or she doesn't? Then at times the Holy Spirit, after you go through Matthew chapter 7, Galatians chapter 6, and you see you have a heart to restore and it's a call by the Holy Spirit, then you move into this and that you must go one-on-one. It's imperative that we understand this. It's vital that we discipline ourselves this way because we have a habit of going to other people. We go to our prayer partner. "You got to pray for me." Or we go to other people that we shouldn't go to, and we make slimy remarks in some way, and in our workplace, you know, and it's infectious. It becomes detrimental to what is necessary. Jesus said, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And that doesn't mean just go one time. You may have to go dozens of times. You may not have permission to move on from that because that he's going to use you. He wants to use you and he's working, but you got to be patient and it takes time and it doesn't always happen overnight. I have found sometimes when I am called by God to restore, I just want it to be done with. Anybody like that? Okay, I'm going to go, Lord. I'll go do it and I do it and everything. And then I'm looking for that result and my expectation is that it's taken care of. No, it takes time to work in a person's heart, even for God. That's how powerful the flesh is, how powerful the freedom of choice is. Jesus said, be careful. If you do it right, you can gain your brother, but it's not stated, but I know it's true. If you do it wrong, you can create a lot of damage. So after you've done this, and maybe you've gone dozens of times, maybe you've gone two or three times, and then the Lord gives you permission to go to verse 16. He says, and if he will not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, catch this, every word may be established. Every word means every word, right? It means if you're going to confront a person, your words and the person you're confronting, that person's words will become under the microscope of those people that have come, the two or three that have been called by God to be there. A lot of times how it works, the one person goes and finds a person that they trust and believes that will be open-minded, and they bring that person. The other person goes and finds a person that they believe and would be open-minded, and they bring that person. And those two persons that are brought, if it's two or if it's three or whatever it is, have an obligation to listen to every word, not to take sides. So that person you bring can be a person that will shed light and actually disagree with you. And that's very important in the relationship if you get that far. And so he's just simply saying, do that. And notice, but if he refuses, there's a next step that takes place. It says, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. First step, one-on-one. Second step, bring two or three people in that way and work it through and do it often if you have to. Do it dozens of times if you have to and see what the Holy Spirit. But if you come to a point and it's not there, it's not working, then you must, and that you have permission to go to the next step. Bring it to the leadership of the church. It doesn't mean for them to come and we have to stand right here and on a Sunday morning confront that. Can you imagine that with all the challenges that we have in our lives with other people? No, we can't do that. That's not what it means. It means bring it to the leadership. But then please know, if you bring it to the leadership may not agree with you. So all the searching that needs to go on, that's healthy, it's good. It's the way it's supposed to be done in that way. Again, go back to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Paul is very purposeful when he says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Consider yourself, lest you also be tempted. And so what I'd like to do for the rest of our message here for the next 2 hours and 42 minutes, okay? You can take out your pen and all. I'd like to look at four rules of restoration. Four steps that help us restore relationships. You might also say that these are four rules for confrontation that you might consider as there's confrontation that's necessary in your lives. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Just a book to the right there, a few chapters there to the right, Ephesians chapter 4. Notice beginning in verse 22, Paul addresses this issue we're going to look at by chapter 4, verse 22, he encourages us that you take off concerning your former conduct, your flesh, the old man, the fleshly man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Take it off. That's an action that we must do if we want to see restoration. And be renewed, verse 23, in the spirit of your mind. Let the Holy Spirit renew your mind. So then now, verse 25, can come into play. And that you put on the new man, the new person that you are, the spiritual man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. At that point, When we're able to do this, now we are ready for the four rules of restoration, the four rules of confrontation. Very important that we would understand that. But Paul goes on and he tells us how to be very specific in this and to be effective in this. He says in verse 25, he says, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." We're all part of the body of Christ. So the first rule of restoration, write it down, please, is found in verse 25. It is be honest. Be honest. Now, it's important that we understand what this means. Paul said to put off lying, but he says to speak the truth. People obviously cannot read our minds, so we must speak the truth. We don't speak half the truth. We don't speak a partial truth. We learn and discipline ourselves to speak the truth according to what God would have us to speak. Problems cannot be solved unless they are expressed. And when we do that, we must speak the truth. Honesty is more than not lying, Paul is telling us. It is to speak the truth completely, not just partially. In other words, dishonesty is thrown out the door. When we speak the truth. Now, one, you might sit there and say, of course, Bill, I know that. But often we don't speak the entire truth. We're not lying, but sometimes we need to, in a situation, we become so concerned about hurting a person's feelings that we hold back with the truth that is necessary to bring restoration. And then we wonder at times, why do we not have restoration? The confrontation doesn't go very well because it doesn't get to the heart of the issue, because we want to be kind. And I think we should be kind. A spirit of gentleness, it's got to be part of it. But Paul is encouraging us here, put away lying. Partial truths are not true. Examples of dishonesty: outright deceit, conflict between body language and tones and content of what we say. We can say one thing, but our bodies are telling us, our actions are telling others it's not there. We disguise our message, innuendos. We're afraid to get to the point. And so Paul starts out by saying, put away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. The second rule of restoration, the second rule of confrontation, is found in verses 26 and 27. Look there. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. What is there that's very important? Write it down, please, if you'd like. Keep current. Keep current. That takes a lot of word. You know, it actually is teaching that we can get angry, a righteous anger, that we don't sin. It's important to do that. Lying is sin. Anger may not be. Anger can be energy that is used to solve problems. Solve problems. I look at the news, and sometimes I'm sitting there looking at the news, and that angers me. Anybody been there lately? That just angers me. That's not just, that's not fair, that's not good, and all of that. But I have to be careful how I respond to that and what's going on in my anger. If it's unjust anger, I'm not gonna have the energy nor the wisdom to handle it correctly. But if it's righteous indignation, the power of the Holy Spirit steps in and he uses that as an energy to help me step by step by step, because we fight for the truth. We fight for righteousness. We fight for the glory of God, and we fight for healing in situations. Anger is sinful when it is used to attack ourselves or others. Failure to solve problems daily means we are giving place or a foothold to Satan. Let me read that again. Failure to solve problems daily means we are giving place or a foothold to Satan. He says there, do not give him a place. Do not give him an opportunity. Doing this, giving the enemy a foothold, doing this will open the way for disappointment, resentment, bitterness, and hatred. Hebrews says bitterness will defile many. It grows. It just starts with disappointment. And all of a sudden, it's allowed to continue instead of being dealt with in your heart with the Lord and with the person. If you're called to that, the disappointment grows into resentment. You resent that person. You resent that situation. And you may be just in that, but you're not given permission by God to travel into that area. Resentment is not good. It's a work of the flesh. And then it grows into bitterness. And then bitterness defiles many. But it doesn't just stop with bitterness. It can grow into absolute hatred. Hatred. We're to hate sin, but Jesus said we are to love people because love never fails. If we act out in any of these manners, disappointment, resentment, bitterness, hatred, it can distort subsequent problems. It creates more problems. It just does. That's why it's important. Rule number two that we see, keep current. A key to keeping current is to stop clamming up. Often we will clam up. I'm not going to deal with it. And then it just brews and brews. We can clam up by cutting off communication with someone. We can do this by crying. We can do this by threatening an explosive volcanic eruption. We can bottom line things by simply saying, all I have to say is this, and that's it, and I'm leaving, I'm going. That doesn't restore. That doesn't help a situation. I've written here in my notes 6 questions to ask before bringing up a sticky problem. Number one, do I have the facts right? It's good to start there. Should love hide it? In other words, is it sinful? Is it hindering growth? We have to consider all of those things. Can love hide it at that point? Cover it? Is my timing right? So often I've gone into a situation and it's not often I am right, but sometimes every once in a while I'm right and I go into a situation I know I'm right, but as I'm in the midst of that right situation dealing with a person that is wrong, I realize, oh Lord, you're showing me their hearts are not ready. And I'm just going to be banging and banging and banging and banging. And sometimes I have to back off and leave more time for the Holy Spirit to work. Is my attitude correct? Am I trying to find help the other person? Are my words loving? Have I asked for God's help before I even go there? Rule number 3, for the purpose of restoration, is in verse 28 through 30. Go there, please, in your scripture. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. What is the third rule? Attack problems, not people. Attack problems, not people. Unwholesome words, corrupt words. These are words that attack a person's character. They can be manifested in name calling. These are words that tear a person down, rip them apart. You can can hinder growth in their life and our lives. These are words that cloud up or pass by the true issue. These are words that grieve the Holy Spirit. And we have to be very, very careful. Paul's very specific here. He says, instead, use words that edify, words that encourage, or words that build up communications, words that lead to restorations, words that edify, give grace to those who hear, words that edify, zero in on the conflict and are solution-oriented, not self-oriented. It's a challenge, is it not? You guys overwhelmed yet? How can I possibly do all of this? I don't even have the detailed notes, and Bill's just going through this so fast, you know? Well, I'll give you my notes if you want, and we'll put some of them up on the website. But it's true. It's right here in Scripture. It really is. You ready for the last rule?
Yes.
Are you anxious, Pam?
Yes.
Yes. The last rule of restoration, the art of restoration, the rule or the art of confrontation is act, don't react. So often we react. Look what it says in verse 31. Let all bitterness, wrath, this is how we react at times, anger, clamor, evil speaking, but be put away from you with all malice. Don't react in those ways. What should we do? Act. How do we act? Verse 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. When did God in Christ forgive you? Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Wrapped up there is our power, our ability, our path, our way to bring healing in relationships. Remember, conflicts are possible only if each person reacts. We are to act. very important. So no matter how irresponsible the other person is, we must act biblically. We can't control the other person, but we can change how we respond. Very important. It truly is. You want to hear some sinful forms of communication? Somebody does. I mean, you guys are really excited. Kurt's excited about this, I can tell. Let me ask the question again. You guys want to hear some sinful forms of communication?
Yes.
Are you telling the truth?
Yes.
You don't want to say no? Here it is. Here it is. Listen. All ungracious speech, disrespect, interruption. Do you interrupt a person? Hannity, every once in a while I watch him, and that's why. I'll just go, shut up. Just ask your question, shut up, and let them answer. Stop interrupting them. I'm sorry. You can send this tape to him. He now knows what I think. No, I got to be kind. Can't interrupt. Allow people to have their say. Even if the say goes on and on and on, learn patience. Another form of sinful communication, name-calling. Judging motives, raising the eye or raising the voice. Rolling the eyes, I mean. Raising the voice. Manipulation, sulking. I'm going to pout. Angry countenance. Inattentiveness. Do you know what the greatest form of communication we have between each other is? Do you guys know what it is? It's 55% of our communication. Nonverbal. 38% of our communication is the tone of our voice. That adds up to 93% of our communication is nonverbal and by the tone of our voice. 7% only is content. Wow. And that's where we get in trouble big time, isn't it? At times. Confrontation for the purpose of restoration guidelines. And this is where I'm going to end. And this will be, I'm just going to listen to them. I'll have it on the web page and you can go to this. But some guidelines. Confrontation for the purpose of restoration guidelines. Be a ready listener and do not talk until the other person has finished talking. Sometimes people have little things they have. Now, it's in your hands. You have permission to talk. And then after they talk, they give it back to you and they give you permission to talk. Would that help? It can help. Simple thing like that. 2, be slow to speak. Think first. Don't be hasty in your words. Number three, speak in such a way that the other person can understand and accept what you're saying. Be clear. Be honest. Number 4, don't go to bed angry. Each day, clear the offenses of that day by asking for forgiveness if necessary. Number 5, speak the truth, but do it in love. Number 6, don't use silence to frustrate the other person. Explain why you are hesitant to talk at this time. Communicate. Number 7, do not become involved in quarrels. It is possible to disagree without quarreling. Be careful. Number 8, and like I said, these will be on the webpage. Number 8, do not respond in uncontrolled anger. Use a soft and kind response and tone of voice. Number 9, when you're in the wrong, admit it and ask for forgiveness. Also ask how you can change. How can I change? How can I do better in this relationship? Please help me. Wonderful words. I need your help. Number 10, when someone confesses something to you, tell him you forgive him. Be sure it is forgiven and never again brought up to the person, to others, or to yourself. This one's so easy to fail at. Number 11, avoid nagging. Number 12, do not blame or criticize the other person. Instead, restore, encourage, and edify. Number 13, if someone verbally attacks, criticizes, or blames you, do not respond in the same manner. Well, I'm going to get you. And you do the same thing. Number 14, try to understand the other person's opinion. And lastly, number 15, be concerned about the other person's interests. Jesus set that model for us, Philippians chapter 2. Challenging, isn't it? It truly is. But the Word says and encourages us by the power of the Holy Spirit through the victory of Jesus on the cross, when it is finished, He can empower us to walk through these things and learn to communicate well. And we are to restore one another. That should be our goal. Amen?
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through the Word.